All right, Alexander, we need to talk about the vote that took place in Russia on the constitutional amendments, the amendments to the Russian Constitution. It was around 78% or 77.9293% voted yes for the amendments, and around 21% voted no. So it was a unanimous victory, a landslide win for these amendments. And real quick, from Sputnik News, they say the amendments focused pretty much around three topics: the social and economic reform, which dealt with minimum wage, dealt with marriage laws, and other issues with the socioeconomic policy of Russia. They dealt with national identity reform, and it dealt with Russia's territory and sovereignty, and establishing the Russian language as the language that forms the nation. And it dealt with what I think is probably the most controversial and the one that the Western mainstream media is jumping on the most, and that is power reform, as Sputnik News outlines it. And of course, the most controversial part of the power reform was the term limits for the Russian president, or in this case, the abolition of term limits, no more term limits, which would mean that it does open the door for Putin to run again and to stay in power pretty much indefinitely. There's other parts to the power reform amendments that took place, as far as if you do decide, if you're president, you could become a senator. If you do decide not to run, there's also provisions in there about whether people in government can have money in offshore banks and have offshore bank accounts. You can touch upon anything that you would like to touch upon on the amendments, Alexander. And of course, I think it would be great if we could have your insight on what is the most controversial, the most talked about part, which is the Putin amendment, so to speak, could grant Putin the ability to run again. And it I don't know how I feel personally about it. I've got mixed feelings about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people can see the good in it and can also see the bad of what took place. But get into it, Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to say about this is, as you correctly say, this is an overwhelming vote in favor of these amendments. Now, that has come as a surprise, I ought to say, because, of course, whenever one hears about overwhelming votes in Russia, there's always lots of people who come out and say that those votes are not particularly reliable, that there's been elements of rigging and voting manipulation and that sort of thing. Interestingly, on this occasion and within Russia, very, very few people indeed are saying that. Not even people who are very critical or hostile to President Putin and his government are saying that to any degree. So it is generally accepted, in fact, it is very largely accepted, that this vote reflects the actual mood in Russia, the actual political mood in Russia. And it was, as you said, an absolute landslide. It was almost 80% voted in favor of these constitutional amendments. And the turnout was 68%, which is pretty high. By the way, the amendments, the one area, one region of Russia where people voted against was a place in eastern Russia called the Nenets Autonomous Region. And people did vote against it. There's the only region where they voted against. And that was, it seems, on a protest over a local issue. But the very fact that people could vote against it is another reason, I think, for thinking that this is probably a valid, in fact, I'm sure it is a valid reflection of what most Russians think. Now, firstly, let's talk about term limits. I should say I also have very mixed feelings about Putin running again. But I think it's important to say this does not abolish term limits. Term limits remain two consecutive terms. Now, what has happened is a result of an amendment that was promoted by a Russian politician called Valentina Tereshkova, who was, by the way, Russia's first woman in space all the way back in 1962. On the basis of that amendment, Putin himself is allowed to run for those two further terms. even despite the fact that he has just completed two terms. But as a result of this constitution, he would have to leave office, assuming he was still alive, at 12 years from 2024. So in 2036, assuming he was still alive then. So it's not quite a president for life. It doesn't actually abolish term limits, but it does give Putin the option, if he wants to stay for another 12 years. I have very mixed feelings about this. I don't go on.
Can I pause you there before you get into your
Yeah.
viewpoints of it? I'm just trying to understand it. Is the amendment then only for Putin, or is it for any president hereafter?
It is only for Putin. It is specifically about Putin himself. And that was that what she said, what the amendment says is we will start with this process of only allowing consecutive term limits, but Putin's previous periods of office are disregarded.
Is
So
null. Okay.
is not. So it's specifically for Putin himself. But in a way, that even concerns me even more, because I don't think you should make exceptions for one particular person in a constitutional document. Now, there's a
Can I ask
lot
you the logic behind it? What was her argument? What was
of
her
right.
logic behind proposing this, real quick,
Well,
and
the,
then
well,
and then you can
well, I
get
mean,
to, yeah. I'm just trying to
her,
understand the logic behind this, because
the
I'm
logic
even more
was.
confused now.
Well, I know it is very confusing, and as I said, it reinforces my, as I say, my concerns. But the point she was making, a point a lot of people in Russia are making, is that Russia is still very much a country which has not yet achieved full stability, and that they very much do not want an early change of power at this particular time. They feel that in 14 years' time, after Putin has served another two terms, plus the remainder of this term, the system will be more stable, and then we can start to think about having someone else after them. But I mean, that's the way it's been justified, or if you like, rationalized. My concern with that is that you can always come up with those arguments. You'd always say, well, things aren't quite as stable as we would like. Let's wait another 12 years. I mean, you can always do that. So I have misgivings about this. But there is no doubt, if you go to Russia, two things become very, very apparent, especially outside Moscow, which is that one, most people still support President Putin. He's still far and away the most popular political leader in Russia at this present time, and want him to stay. And the second thing is that there is an overriding fear amongst Russians, of all age groups, by the way, and of all social classes, about instability. And this is not surprising given the recent history of the country. I mean, we've had revolutions, we've had civil wars, we've had the collapse of the Soviet Union, we've had the 1990s. People are very afraid of political instability, and they see in Putin the guarantee that it won't happen. So I have mixed feelings about it. I'm not sure that it's the right thing at all, but I understand why most people went along with it. Having said that, there's an awful lot more to this these constitutional changes than that. And I think that the most important thing to say is that it tries to do two things. Firstly, it some to some extent rearranges the power structure. It makes the presidency slightly less powerful than it was. It makes the parliament rather more powerful than it was. And it makes this advisory body, which is the State Council, which is a place where basically policy is worked out. It's a kind of administrative organ which irons out the details of policies and where, new thinking takes place. It makes it a formal part of the political and constitutional structure, and it gives it a greater role. So it's in some ways a devolution of power away from the presidency. So I think whilst Putin remains president, he is so dominant in Russia that it's very difficult to imagine any of these entities actually acting against him. But in the future, it will create a more diverse political system, and perhaps a system that will have to work to a greater extent on through consensus than the system that we have now, where it really does depend very much on what Mr. Putin himself wants. That's one thing. The other thing, though, which I think is the part of the Constitution, the amendments, which I think a lot of Russians would have found the most attractive, is that it is a statement about the kind of society and the kind of country they want Russia to be. So there is a statement that there is a reference in the Constitution to the Russian people, which is new. The Constitution didn't refer to the Russian people before. There is a reference to God. So it establishes Russia as a country which is religious, where the church is important, but also the Muslims have a say. It states that Russia is the successor state of the Soviet Union. So it establishes, you know, the concept of Russia as a country with a history, and they will accept all of their history. Contrast that with the United States, where, you know, you're going around knocking down statues, saying, you know, you want part of your history, but you don't want other parts of the history. What Russians are now saying is, we want all of our history. We want to have every part of our history commemorated and remembered. And it also has the, you know, statements about social policy, so that marriage is an institution of a man and a woman. Now, it shows you how much things have changed in the United States. I can remember no less a person than Barack Obama saying that in 2008. And we've seen this huge change in the United States and in the West since then. But in Russia, they're standing by that. But I think the single most important thing is that it says that Russian laws and the Russian constitution take priority over international laws. Now, what that refers to above all is things like the human rights, the European Convention on Human Rights, of which Russia up to now, well, it remains a signatory, but in the previous constitution, it actually took supremacy over the constitution. Now that's been reversed. So it is a re-sovereignization of Russia. It says Russia is a sovereign country. It has its history. It has its religion. It has its social beliefs. It has its economic beliefs also, because there's also provisions about supporting families and that kind of thing in the constitution also. And this takes priority for us, and we're not going to be dictated to by international global institutions, which will tell us how we should live our lives. So it is a re-sovereignization of Russia. It is the diametric opposite of the direction that some people, I don't say all people, some people in the United States and in certain Western countries want to take their countries and their societies.
Yeah, it's. I agree with you 100%. I think this document is just basically Russia saying that we are leaving the Western system.
Yes,
the exactly neoliberal Western system that has dominated for so many decades. We're out. Exactly. We're going our own way. Yeah. I mean, this was actually, we saw this with the building of the church, the military church.
Yes.
I think that's like the physical embodiment of this, and they built it and they completed it and they had the ceremony at the same time when all the madness was going on in the US and the statues mm-hmm. were being torn down.
Yes.
And, you know, they were saying, let's burn churches and let's remove statues, remove our history. Russia then decided to complete this this church, an incredible church, a massive church dedicated
Absolutely.
Not only to God, but to the military. And of course, now they're making the statement with this voice that with this vote, that they're completely out of the system. And I also want to make one last comment. The turnout was really good, especially considering the pandemic. So that's
Absolutely.
Just the thought that came to mind.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, clearly there was support for this. I mean, there was positive support for this. And on the subject of the church, there's one thing I wanted to just add, which is that they very clearly chose a very traditional form of architecture. So it's nothing like, some of the modernist churches, concrete and steel-like churches, that you see in places like, say, Brasilia or in parts of Britain or parts of the United States. They chose a church which is fully in line with traditional Russian architecture. It's
And traditional
decorated
orthodoxy architecture, yeah.
traditional Russian Orthodox. Absolutely. It's an Orthodox church following the physical traditions of Orthodoxy and of Russian Orthodoxy. So it is a statement, unquestionably. And as you correctly say, the Constitution and the Church have to be understood as part of the same thing. It's
Yeah.
the re-sovereignization of a country and of its people, and the people support it. That
All
is the
right.
conclusion one has to draw.
My final question to you is, how much of an impact do you think, as the Russians were going to vote, was all the stuff that was going on in the US and the UK and all the madness that was taking place? And the Russians, obviously, they see this. They see this on their TV screens, they see this on the internet. I'm sure the Russian media is playing, all the videos and all the viral stuff that's going on about what's happening in the US. How much of a role do you think this played in the election, in that Russians saw what was happening? They said, you know what? Without a doubt, stability. We want stability. We don't want what's happening there to come here. We don't need it. And the fact that they have seen the Western ideology creeping up closer and closer to their border, whether in the form of soft power and information and media, or whether in the form of hard power, i.e. NATO. So the people kind of said, you know what? Putin is providing that stability. Let's keep him in place. These are very, very unstable times. Let's not make a change. Let's not have what's happening there come here. This is how I'm going to vote. How much of a role do you think that played?
I think it played a huge role, and to answer your question, Russians are very aware of these things. I mean, it's not just their own media that shows these things, but their own social media. I mean, Russia has a very, very big internet, which is open, largely, I'm almost entirely open to it. It's not like China, so they see all of these things. They talk about them, they discuss it with each other, and they don't like it at all. And they also see what happened in Ukraine. They saw a demonstration that happened at the Statue of the Motherland in Kiev, which was, a statue of, and they saw, steps that were taken there, and they were shocked. And they do not, as you correctly say, they do not want to see anything like that happen in their own country. And they've drawn a line in the sand, and they said, look, if the West wants to go this way, that's their business. We don't want anything like that here. We are who we are. We're not ashamed of who we are. We're going to prize all of our history, every part of it, and we are going to continue to be Russians. And that means we're going to prize our heritage, our religion, our politics, our sovereignty, and we're not going to be subject to anybody else. And as for who leads us, that's our decision. And for the moment, that seems to be Vladimir Putin, who is the guarantor of stability in our land. So that's what this is all about, it seems to me. And the fact that we've had a big turnout at a time of pandemic, and that it got overwhelming support, even in places which, well, it was unexpected. I mean, even in Moscow, it's accepted that, majority of people voted for this. And a lot of people had said that they wouldn't vote for it, a majority wouldn't vote for it in Moscow, because Moscow is supposed to be Russia's most liberal city. And yet, even in Moscow, they voted for it. That is a very telling sign and very, very illustrative of the mood of the country.
All right. Before we finish the video, Alexander, final thoughts on how the mainstream media, the Western mainstream media, handled this story
Well,
with
I mean,
regards
there
to
were.
Putin mainly. I mean, that's the big.
Well, I mean, this is they focus everything around the personality of Putin himself. I think what they need to do is they need to look beyond Putin at Russia and the Russian people and what the Russian people think, and ask themselves the question of why does he continue to get this overwhelming support that he clearly does? I mean, there were dips in his support during the pandemic, which I think a lot of people ran away with and got very overexcited about and said to themselves, this is a sign that the system is crumbling. And I read some really interesting, well, not interesting at all, but some boringly predictable articles in places like the Financial Times and the Guardian and the New York Times and the Washington Post about all of this. And now we've seen an actual vote which ends with a resounding victory for what he stands for. So I think they need to stop thinking about Putin and start thinking about Russia, not the Russia of their own imaginations, but the real Russia that actually exists and the real Russian people who live there. And clearly, they do not think the way that the Guardian, the Financial Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times, MSNBC, CNN, all of those people want them to think, or believe that they were, or want them, or, you know, or want, or believe that they think. They think quite differently. And perhaps, if you want to take an even further step, it might also be indicative of, you know, maybe it's not just Russians looking at the situation in the West who, you know, shake their heads and say, we don't want to be like that. Perhaps Russians are representative of what a lot of other people around the world also think. And I'm sure that's true, by the way.
Yeah, good point. Putin's going to run again in a couple of years. I mean, this pretty much guarantees it, because he said he won't, but this guarantees it.
I can't see how. If he didn't want to, I think he'd have indicated by now that he wouldn't.
Wanted the mandate from the people.
Exactly. And he's got it.
He's got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can't
because
really.
We always get the question who's going to succeed Putin? Exactly. Who's going to succeed? I think now that question is not.
It doesn't exist anymore. I mean, I have very mixed feelings about it. I think, as I said, I'm not convinced that this is a good thing, but it's not my decision. It's not my choice. It's a Russian decision and a Russian choice. We need to respect the fact.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't know how I feel about it either. I mean, okay, yeah. I understand the logic behind it, though. And looking at the world today, I can see why people choose stability.
Absolutely.
At this very moment in time.
Absolutely.
It's probably the right choice, if you want my opinion.
Well, probably is. I mean, he is an immensely experienced and very strong leader. And I can understand why people want to stick with that at a time like this.
You have to get succession in, though, sooner or later. You're going to have to get some sort of line in there.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, the risk is that by putting this off too long, you make that succession process harder. But, you know, it's a Russian choice, and it's not for us to come along to Russians and tell them how to run their affairs. They've just told us very emphatically through this referendum that they're not going to accept that. So, you know, let's respect it for once.
All right. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell and smash that like. Also go to PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar, and please donate to us. Look for us on Subscribestar and iTunes for an audio copy of this video, and go to the Duran Shop. Pick up a magic mug. I'm sure that Putin and his entire staff at the Kremlin were drinking from our magic mugs as the vote tallies were being counted, and that's why they got the result that they got.
Indeed. And this, in fact, as you can see, is a magic mug. It's actually my wife's favorite magic mug, and it is, in fact, what you see there is the coat of arms of Russia, of the Russian Federation. So this is what you see, is the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation with St. George on his horse slaying the dragon of untruth and fake news, which is what we seek to do in the Duran. And we have a magnificent collection of magic mugs in our shop. Alex has been adding new products to our shop. We got more magic mugs than we used to have. They're all fantastic. All our mugs are phenomenal. They are extraordinary, light, beautiful, strong, and they keep your tea or coffee or hot chocolate, which is what my wife likes to drink. They keep them perfectly hot at an ideal temperature for extraordinarily long time. And they also keep your beer and champagne cold. And can I also say, they are extremely hard wearing. I should know because I break and splinter and crack and ruin mugs at phenomenal industrial speed. And yet we've had these mugs now for a year and 10 months, and they're all of them, without exception, in perfect condition. So that tells you what high quality goods, what high quality mugs these are. They're the best mugs you will find anywhere. I say that without qualification or doubt. They are amazing mugs. And so are our shirts, all of our shirts. Again, Alex is adding lots of new products, lots of new lines to our shirt products, all of them 100% cotton, extremely stylish, extremely comfortable. This is a long-sleeved shirt, but you'll find short-sleeved shirts, you'll find tank tops, you'll find V-neck shirts, you'll find amazing polo shirts. You'll find them in different colors with different symbols. Mine obviously have the double-headed eagle of the Duran on them. And you will also find hats and hoodies and stickers. And you will find an increasing, constantly increasing library of ebooks, which you can also read on all sorts of enormously interesting subjects, all of which we've produced based on our discussions, some of them with prefaces from me. And they're all there in our shop, and they're fantastic products. We discussed this, and Alex said we will go for really high quality good things in our shop, and they are. So come to our shop, support us, support the Duran, be the owner of these great things. Alex will tell you how.
Go to theduranshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box underneath this video. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.